You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week. However, we are celebrating the 4th of July Eve here.
Ow!
On the Kevin and Bean Show by doing a live showbiz beats for you each and every hour. My shut up, Omar. My name is Ralph Garman. I'm your buddy here bringing you all the latest and greatest in showbiz news. Happy Spider-Man Day, everyone. Stop the owls.
Sorry.
Happy Spider-Man Day. The Amazing Spider-Man comes out today. If you, like I am, have been waiting for this movie for some time, ever since Tobey Maguire pooped all over the franchise by emoing his hair up and dancing to disco music, you said, boy, I wish there was a new, better Spider-Man. And here it is, the new, better Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone. It all happens today. Midnight, last night, I guess, is when it first kicked off, and people standing in line and going to screenings as we speak. Here's a little taste of what you can find if you go to The Amazing Spider-Man today.
Did you catch that spider guy yet?
No, but we will. This guy wears a mask like an outlaw.
I think he's trying to do something maybe the police can't.
I gotta stop him, because I created him.
That's not your job.
Maybe it is.
38 of New York's finest versus one guy in a unitard.
Whoa! If you want the truth, Peter, come and get it.
I am issuing an arrest warrant for the masked vigilante known as Spider-Man.
Squee! Squee! I'm surprised they can use unitard in a movie these days. Isn't that politically incorrect? Aren't you?
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think the mentally disabled like it when you call them unitards. They don't appreciate that. Anyway, let me know if you see Spider-Man today. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm dying to know.
Emma Stone is a blonde, by the way.
Yeah, she is. That's a good deal right there. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the showbiz news. Oh, it's a lot of gay showbiz news today.
Very happy?
Homosexuals.
Oh, really?
In the news. Anderson Cooper, of course, yesterday announced that he was gay in an open letter on his longtime friend Andrew Sullivan's website, The Daily Beast, which was met by rounds of applause from other gay celebrities and a yawn and a shrug from the rest of us because we kind of knew he was gay.
How do you feel about homosexuality?
Well, I knew Anderson was gay because he spends every New Year's Eve with Kathy Griffin. How much gayer can you get than that? From the rest of the gay community, Ellen DeGeneres wrote on Twitter, "I'm proud of you, Anderson." Of course, Neil Patrick Harris also chimed in, "Good for you, Anderson. You're awesome." So a lot of support from the gay celebrity community that Anderson finally announced officially that he's gay, although it really shouldn't matter. In this day and age, do people have to announce whether they're gay or straight? I don't know. I wonder. The founder of Facebook, Chris Hughes, who's also gay, married his longtime boyfriend Sean Eldridge in an intimate same-sex ceremony last Saturday. So another gay young internet billionaire is off the market. Damn, I was hoping to cash in some of that stuff. Social networking gurus Mark Zuckerberg and Sean Parker were also at the celebration, along with Gayle King, Senators Chuck Schumer and Kristen Gillibrand, and even House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was at the event. So
the Pelosi was there?
The Pelosi was there.
Wow.
Yeah. Tom Cruise. That has nothing to do with gay news, by the way, so I don't want to hear it from anybody's lawyers. It's his birthday today. He must be having a rough birthday now that his wife is divorcing him. And how far is he willing to go to get information on his wife to use in the divorce proceedings? New York Post is reporting that Katie Holmes had to call the police last Saturday when she saw five men lurking outside of her apartment, watching her. Two of them were armed. Word is, the men refused to answer questions about why they were there, but sources are saying they were sent by the Church of Scientology.
That is not surprising.
That's creepy, though.
And creepy. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tom has got himself a high-powered divorce attorney to handle his half of the proceedings. Dennis Wasser is the guy's name. This is the same guy he used while divorcing Nicole Kidman, so they have a relationship together. Meanwhile, Katie was seen in public for the first time this week without her wedding ring. She was filming a Project Runway All-Stars segment yesterday. And, geez, that's a rough time in her life. Not only is she getting divorced, but she has to be on Project Runway All-Stars. I feel for her.
Yeah.
Porn star Kim Kardashian was at the BET Awards on Sunday night. But this is so funny. While she was at the BET Awards, sitting there watching her alleged boyfriend, Kanye West, get awards, she tweeted, Don't forget, there's a new episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians on right now. So she's at the awards telling people to go watch her show.
You know, I saw a little clip of them together. They are so not affectionate whatsoever.
He won. He turned to her and sort of nodded, and she nodded to him. There wasn't a kiss or a hug or nothing.
Like, are you kidding me?
Seemed very, very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in matching outfits, though. I don't know if you noticed.
They were in very white.
They do like to
white outfits.
They do like to be twinsies.
Yes,
when they get together.
You know how we talked to J-Lo's ass back in the day?
Yes.
I think it's time to start talking to Kim Kardashian's ass.
Really? See what's up?
I think so. We got to see what's up with their relationship with Kanye.
Behind the scenes scoop with Kanye.
I think
ass would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most dangerous man in the world is back on the road. Justin Bieber. National Enquirer reporters spotted him going down the 101 freeway near Calabasas, chatting on his cell phone the entire time. Guilty! He should be put to death.
Yes, he should.
Yeah. Apparently the police did not catch Biebs talking on the phone.
Was he driving his Battleac?
I think he was driving the Battleac with his Believe tattoo.
Or what other douchey thing did he do to his smart car? Remember, he changed
the swag car.
My God. That's right. He made the smart car the swag car.
Deserves death for that, too.
And while we're talking about death, sad news. Charlie Sheen's assistant is dead. The guy's name was Rick Calamaro. This was the guy who very likely supplied Charlie with his drugs in the past. He was found dead in his L.A. apartment on Sunday next to numerous pain medications and an open bottle of booze. This is ironic, since Calamaro was the guy who was hanging out with Charlie when he trashed that room at the Plaza Hotel with the porn star, Capri Anderson. Remember, he went nuts and wanted his watch back? Got all that publicity. Apparently, this guy was not a good influence on Charlie. And he was also his assistant during that whole Rockstar from Mars public meltdown period in 2011. So
he was a pussy.
He may not have been a pussy, but apparently couldn't handle his booze and his drugs because he's no longer with us. Say, look, today's celebrity birthdays. Montel Williams, talk show host Montel Williams, 56 years old today. Actor Tom Cruise celebrates his 50th birthday, as does actor Thomas Gibson. He was on Dharma and Greg, you know, he's 50 years old. The lovely and talented Connie Nielsen. Where's my bell? Someone took my bell.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
It's right there.
Where is it? Oh, it's up here. Someone moved my bell.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. The lovely and talented Connie Nielsen from Gladiator and other feature films is 48 years old today. Actress Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons. She is Lisa Simpson on that show. She is 48 years old today. Kevin Hearn of Bare Naked Ladies celebrates his 43rd birthday. And Shawnee Smith from the Saw movies and Becker. She is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of the most anticipated films of 2012 is finally here at midnight tonight. We're talking The Avengers. Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Gregg, one of the stars of the show, Agent Paul Coulson, joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Clark, how are you, man?
I'm very good. Very much an honor to be here.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back.
Silly.
You're ridiculous. You have been a guy who has been working, it seems to me, continuously, which is pretty rare for an actor, for a long, long time. I mean, have you ever been between jobs, Clark? It seems like you're never off my TV or off my movie screen.
I'm glad that that illusion has been presented, because I feel like I spend an awful lot of time desperately seeking the next gig.
Waiting by the phone.
But less so once Agent Coulson came into the universe, then there was a certain amount of...
When did Agent Coulson first make his appearance on the big screen?
It was a small part in the original script of Iron Man, and I kind of thought, oh, man, is this guy expendable?
But was it intended to be?
Not at first. I was talking to the guys from Marvel because I said, no, I'm pretty sure my memory serves me. I didn't say all this cool stuff originally in Iron Man. They said, no, you're right. There was a kind of cool, snarky dynamic with you and Tony Stark, and so they decided to make him S.H.I.E.L.D., and we still weren't even sure if that was going to – you know, the writers came up with it, if that was going to be the way we got to the Avengers, although that was our hope.
Right.
And then really, it's kind of one of the cool things they've done is they just kind of – they definitely had a fiendish master plan that you're seeing the fruits of this weekend.
Yeah.
But they really evolved it as it went along, and I was in the very right place, right time.
But you should take full credit for making all of it happen.
Didn't let me finish, and it was all because of – no.
It's got to be enormously gratifying for you to have started off that way, and then in this film, there's so much fleshing out of your character. You become such a fully formed human being, finally, in the Avengers.
Yeah,
you know, which
absolutely.
Is great.
Every bit of it has been kind of – you know, I grew up – I read some of these comics. I was into Marvel. I was into this stuff when I was a kid. Spent way too much time scribbling various superheroes on notebooks that should have had math, which is probably why I'm in the arts at this point. So, you know, they said, oh, listen, we want you in Iron Man 2. We're going to bring Coulson back. And I was like, really?
That was a shock.
I was a bit of a shock, wow. Yeah. And then I was doing a scene from Iron Man 2, and they said, oh, this time tell him you got to go. Tell him you're going to New Mexico.
Mm.
And obediently, you know, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to do that. And then at the end I said, I'm sorry, what's
in New Mexico?
What's in New Mexico? They said, oh, Thor.
There's a big hammer waiting for you
there.
Yeah,
no one told you. You're in Thor.
What?
And then Joss Whedon came up to me at Comic-Con and said, listen, I want to introduce you as part of the cast of The Avengers.
And that's how you found out?
Oh, absolutely.
I was the worst agent in the world.
No, it's Marvel's. Marvel thinks that they're really the CIA.
They keep all that close to the vest?
He said, yeah, let me introduce you as part of the cast. And at that point, I kind of looked around for Ashton Kutcher like, somebody who knows me is playing the meanest prank in the world.
Right.
And even so, I thought when I got the script, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I've seen that cast.
Right.
I'm going to be bringing the Hulk and Jamba Juice. And, you know, to my shock, you have seen it. Yeah. Coulson is very much front and center.
That's our amazement, is that they wasted no one.
They wasted no one.
We were just talking about how Joss really serves everyone. Everyone gets their moments. Everyone gets their time on the screen, and they're what they deserve. You know?
It's kind of, you know, it's remarkable because all of us thought, well, how's he going to do this? You can't do it. How are you going to take care of everybody without it kind of feeling like an episode of The Love Boat? And, you know, let's cut back to Bob Denver now.
Right.
And
Good reference, by the way, for our audience especially.
People don't know that he's Tony Stark's little brother.
That's right, yeah.
to get the script and have it kind of, you know, have all those people, but in a story that just works on its own.
Yeah.
And then to be, for my money, is the funniest one of all.
I agree.
It's
the funniest one of all, genuinely. And I'm not a comic book geek at all. I never read any of these.
Yeah.
But all of the laughs are real. They're not manufactured bad jokes that they put in action movies.
Yeah,
they're all character-based. It comes out of the situation.
It's naturally funny.
Well, Whedon's a great writer. I mean, we've known this for years. And to watch him orchestrate this juggernaut of a film is pretty remarkable. You know?
I have a question for you. I just want to back up a couple steps. So you're at Comic-Con, and was your plan to just sit in the audience and watch the Avengers presentation? Is that what you were there to do?
No. I was there to do the panel for Thor. And I was already having because of the first year I'd been, like, I think it was before Iron Man, I'd been there. And I went around and got the comics that I always, you know, that I wished I had still, and had a blast. And then the next year I was there for the Thor panel, and I went out to pick up a few more comics, and all of a sudden there was, like, people following me going, it's Coulson. It's Coulson. Because they think I actually can get them into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
Of course.
There's
right.
a little disconnect. I'm like, no, just acting.
A bit.
And then I was backstage, basically, before the panel, and he comes over.
That's the strangest way I've ever heard that somebody found out they're in a movie.
It's kind of great, though.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I love that he introduced himself to you, too.
I know.
It's
hilarious.
You didn't know who he was, which is funny to me.
And he's a big geek, too. He's a huge comic book geek, Joss.
Oh, yeah.
Says.
No.
And I think he
writes comics.
That's one of the reasons I think the movie succeeds so well, is because the love he has for the material really shines through, I think, on the screen.
Yeah, that's great. I feel that way, too.
And when you're in a scene like that, and you were talking about playing with all the big boys and being a fan, when you're on the set and you look around and there's Captain America and Tony Stark and the Hulk and everything, and you're in the world, is there ever a moment where you kind of say, this is like the coolest thing?
Hold on for that answer. We need to take a break.
No!
I'm not going to remember the question. I'm 50.
Ralph will remember.
Would you say the most confused guest we've ever had?
I've never seen anyone put on the headphones more, that's for sure.
Clark puts them on, takes them off. Puts them on, takes them off.
It's like
a thing you guys do where you try to leave the guest the last one with no headphones and doesn't know what's going on.
We're not trying to... It's like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
I'm paranoid. I'm realizing right here that I'm a paranoid person.
Uh-oh, gotta put the headphones on.
Gotta put the phones on. I want to be the guy who hears everything.
Ray, don't put the... You don't need the headphones, Ray.
They're definitely going to put the phones on.
Clark Gregg is here on the Kevin DeBee Show. He is agent Phil Coulson in the Avengers movie, which opens up at midnight. By the way, is the next is Nick Fury? Is that what's coming up next? Is Nick Fury? Is that the next movie?
I don't know if they're doing
I'm
a solo.
Sorry,
my
headphone suddenly went dead.
Oh, I see.
I think
he's not allowed to mention.
Marvel has a squelching device that actually just shuts off everything when you ask him.
I know Iron Man 3 is already in production. They're working on that.
They start
next.
That in a couple weeks.
I think there's another Thor in the works. They're talking about a Hulk movie now because the character of the Hulk and Ruffalo's performance, which is genius in this, has sort of revitalized the concept of going back to the Hulk franchise again and trying to get it right.
Hulk is so funny that they're actually talking a Hulk sitcom. It's called Smash! Exclamation point. It's really, it's going
to
be good.
Before we move on, you asked a question. We had to take a break.
Yeah. Clark mentioned that he's sort of a comic book geek, and he grew up reading the comics. And I was thinking, as an actor, when you're on the set and the guys are in costume and you're there with Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, is there that geek moment? Do you have that little boy moment where you realize that you have the coolest job?
All right, we have to take another break.
Come on!
I'm just kidding. You can answer.
Can I say it now?
Yeah.
Okay, the fans, some of the fans have a term that I've learned, which is fantastic. And it's called squee.
Squee.
S-Q-U-E-E-E.
Which means?
And I'll tell you, I kept reading it going, what does that mean? And then I walked onto the helicarrier. Mm-hmm. And it's a helicarrier.
Yes, it is.
And I walked into the first scene and I thought, I walked through the door and all of a sudden I was looking at a kind of round table around which was seated, you know, Thor, Captain America, Bruce Banner, Nick Fury, and Black Widow.
Right.
And I thought, squee.
You knew what that meant
totally
at that
squee.
Moment.
I get it now. Yeah. It's squee. And I look around and it's Robert Downey and Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. It's an actor squee on the other end of it.
Yeah, I'm having the actor squee too. You know,
what a great experience.
Pretty good gig. I was like, what did I do right?
Until Iron Man came along, did most people who would recognize you on the street know you from New Adventures of Old Christine or West Wing? Were those the two biggies probably in your resume? You think
mostly. I mean, to a certain extent, I was still getting that. Like, wait, did I? I feel like you went out with a friend of mine. Who are you?
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, definitely people, Old Christine had its fans and has its fans.
Not from the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
No, not too much.
Not too much?
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Can you tell real quickly your memory of that experience? Because I read that article. It was so funny. Yeah. Just briefly, what you remember most from working on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
I might be getting in trouble for this one because
it
sounds so much worse than it is.
But it's so good.
But I was doing an interview in New York and a guy said, listen, you've been around. You're a wily old vet. You've done a lot of jobs. Let me just say the names of some of your, more and less memorable gigs, and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. And he said, Young Indiana Jones. And I said, Lunch at Hooters with George Lucas. Which sounds bad, and I'm sure I'm going to get a call from George Lucas.
That sounds awesome.
It was really good to me. Geeking out. But it was the only restaurant next to this hotel in North Carolina, and he was nice enough. Saw this, guest actor.
It's also the only time that a man has walked into Hooters and not recognized the waitresses, because he's sitting across from George Lucas.
That's true.
That's just crazy.
I always think it's so fascinating, though. I mean, we talk to a lot of actors on this program, and you're a guy who, you do The Practice and you do Sex of the City and you do whatever gig you can get. And it must almost be like your life just changes just by happenstance when you end up in a role like this. I mean, everything is going to be different now, I would imagine.
It's a task because I've been beaten down so long to become insufferable this quickly, this late in life, but I'm working hard. I know a couple of...
Good luck with that.
I know a couple of particularly insufferable people that I'm going to kind of hang around with and get tips.
That's great. How difficult is it to keep all of those secrets? I mean, how long ago did you film this?
This was shot from kind of May to September.
Of last year. No, this year.
Of last
I'm
summer.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I read through other question. That was a stupid question. That was this
last year.
We haven't
reached
September of this year yet, Kevin. That would be a physical impossibility.
It's going to be live shooting that we're going to see this weekend. All right. I take that back.
I just had to take off my headphones. Reboot for a second. May, September. They called me last year and just said, listen, we're going to send you a script. He wasn't kidding. Do you actually have a bigger part? And I thought, really?
Yeah. You still kind of still, I feel doubted it a little bit.
And then I read it and it was like, this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. No one's told me, but I'm only going to be here for about another 2 weeks on the planet.
So farewell.
Let's not spoil anything, people.
What?
Huh? No, he said a Make-A-Wish Foundation. That's what they give to kids who are saying goodbye.
Yeah, I thought someone gave me this.
When they go to leave the planet.
I understand. Okay. I apologize.
Why don't you not spoil anything, douchebag?
The Avengers opens at midnight tonight. You can say not very much about it, but what are your plans for the weekend, Clark Gregg?
I got to say, it's a really fun gig to have because the fans are so into it. And, this doesn't come along that often in your life. There's going to be some people already parked out there. There's people who are watching the AMC Marathon where they're watching kind of all five Marvel movies leading up to midnight tonight. So uh, without saying too much, I can say that I will be up late tonight kind of going around seeing if I can't surprise a few of those screenings.
Oh, cool.
And,
fantastic.
You know, buy some people some popcorn, thank them.
Awesome. Are there other cast members too, or just are you the only one who's lurking?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are still, you know, they're at the premiere in God knows where tonight. Berlin.
Uzbekistan or something.
They're kind of all over the world working. So I don't know who else will be there but me.
Awesome.
So that'll be like people are like, one of the Avengers is here. It's Clark Gregg.
No, they say it's Coulson.
It's Coulson.
Get me in the shield.
Well, it's a fantastic movie. Ralph and I both have seen it, and it is really – he's a comic book geek. I'm not at all. We both just
love
it.
So it works on all levels for all moviegoers.
There's a little something for everyone, as we like to say.
There really is. And you're fantastic in it.
Thank you
as
so
Agent
much.
Paul Coulson. So thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Take the headphones with you when you leave, Clark.
If you'd allow me, I would feel so much better.
Yes.
By request. I'm just kidding. No one requests that. That's funny. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 24 minutes after 6.
Well, Kiss is back in the news.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night. Party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
As you know, we've talked about the band many times over the years. They are the masters of merchandising. They have literally thousands of items. You can buy anything you want with Kiss, you know, from a lunchbox to a casket. Well, now they've got a golf course that just opened this spring in Las Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel. The 18th hole is Gene Simmons' tongue, believe it or not. And we wanted to find out more about the Kiss golf course in Las Vegas. I haven't had a chance to see it yet in person, but I believe we have Mr. Simmons on the phone, right? Gene Simmons, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you gentlemen, and of course, the beautiful Lisa May. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Gene.
So, as we were just talking about, this Kiss golf course is just the latest in what must be tens of thousands of official Kiss merchandise and things going on all over the world, right?
We're always thinking of different ways to market the greatest band of all time. And the Kiss mini golf course in Las Vegas is going to be the greatest miniature golf course of all time, of course.
Do you play golf at all, Gene? I mean, is this an interest of yours?
Oh, I'm quite the golfer. In fact, you'd be shocked. I find golf incredibly therapeutic. The way I can escape from the life of Gene Simmons, I'm so high strung. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly working, and when I'm on stage, it's tons of energy. When I can escape on the golf course and really invest myself in the game, it's incredibly therapeutic. My swing coach says I have an amazingly smooth stroke. Lisa May. I'm very interested in you stroking.
Okay. All right. We're going to try to keep it clean here, if you don't mind, Gene, but we appreciate the effort here.
Oh, are we? Are we trying to keep it clean?
We are.
Shut your mouth.
We're trying to. What goes on a Kiss golf course? What makes this a Kiss golf course?
We had one of the greatest golf course designers in the world come in. He flew in from Dubai, actually, and he designed this golf course from the ground up, and it is really revolutionary in miniature golf courses. Right now, we're getting dangerously close to the opening. We're having an unfortunate problem with beavers overrunning.
Come on. Already?
You do not.
You mean you skipped right true. Over dangerously close to the opening and went to beavers? Come on, Gene.
A lot of golf courses have problems with groundhogs. We unfortunately have beavers which are running in the ground.
That's odd. Really, that's a strange problem.
Lisa May. Yes. Speaking of beavers.
Yeah. You don't even sound like committed to the bit anymore, Gene. Come on.
Beavers in Las Vegas.
That one seemed a little on the nose.
Okay.
That one, yeah. I take that back.
Okay. All right, so you're also going to be conducting weddings, I see, the Hotter Than Hell wedding. You've got a black carpet. You and your friend Paul Stanley are going to be on. It's a big VIP event.
We're going to really blow it off for the event. I mean, we're going to make sure that this is an extravaganza. Let people know that the greatest golf course of all time is opening up in Las Vegas. Like you said, instead of rolling out the red carpet, we're going to be rolling out the black carpet because we are Kiss, of course. We believe in evil and things of that nature. But Lisa May, you've got some carpet I'm interested in.
Oh, man.
I did not see that coming.
Wow. All right.
That's what she said.
Maybe that. We'll just leave it right there, Gene. Good luck with the golf course. We'll look for you in Vegas.
All right. But before I go, Lisa May, you were talking about golf courses. Can I
What on earth would make you...
Besides, which it has nothing to do with
There's
that.
There's no tie-in.
I don't really see the tie-in. I was hoping I could fit that in.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Happy 4th of July Eve. You have big 4th of July Eve plans?
Me?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You're going to put up your Independence tree?
That's
what we like
do.
To do on Independence Day Eve. Tomorrow is the big day, of course, 4th of July. Don't blow yourself up, people. Don't blow up a finger or something like that.
Don't be Kevin.
Unless you're Kevin. That'd be a really funny, cool story. So, yeah. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean. It is the best of The Kevin and Bean Show because the boys are on vacation. However, we are doing live showbiz beats. I'm bringing you the latest showbiz news, including more details about why Katie Holmes may be divorcing Tom Cruise. This comes from TMZ.com, our buddies over there, who usually have the inside scoop. This is fascinating to me and terrifying at the same time. There had been rumors that it was Scientology-related, the reason Katie Holmes wanted to divorce Tom Cruise, and now it looks as if there are more specifics, including the fact that Tom, again, according to these sources, was going to send 6-year-old Suri away to become a hardcore Scientologist with an organization known as the Sea Organization. This is a group where the highest levels of Scientology are taught. It is a community composed of adults and minors who commit their lives to the volunteer service of their religion. Here is the creepiest part. Even on their own website, in Scientology's website, they say that the members of the Sea Org, as it's called, sign a 1-billion-year pledge to symbolize their eternal commitment to the religion, and it is signed by all members.
Wow.
So you have to commit your life for 1 billion years.
Right.
Because, as you know, you leave your body, your Thetan or whatever leaves the body, then you go back to the mountain where the H-bomb is,
right.
or you get on the big spaceship, and then you come back. And so this way you're committed forever and ever and ever. And apparently Katie didn't want her 6-year-old daughter sent away to live with this organization, which,
and it's like,
as you can imagine, would be terrifying, the idea of losing your child to some militaristic religious situation.
Yeah. Is it also somewhere in the ocean? It's on a ship, right?
They do have a ship. Yeah, the Free Winds, I believe it's called. And it is a massive Scientology boat that is entirely staffed by Sea Org members. So that is definitely part of it.
Wow.
But former Scientologists, including Oscar-winning director Paul Haggis, have been outspoken against Sea Org because it's a very military boot camp type situation.
So they're going to brainwash you and kind of.
Some could say that. Some might say that.
Not me.
I could see, though, why it would be terrifying for a young mother to think that
Absolutely.
Her 6-year-old daughter would be submitted to those sort of living conditions.
Yeah.
And so Katie Holmes apparently thought they were arguing about this for some time, apparently. And she thought the only way she could really get her daughter free from that situation was to file for divorce and then hopefully get custody.
Katie Holmes is dumb. To get into this situation in the first place.
I wonder if
you know
the extent.
If it's Tom Cruise.
When you're just getting into a relationship. And I don't think she ever in 1 million years. I mean, a lot of people are fervent about their religious beliefs, Omar.
Right.
A lot of people are very passionate about their spiritual organizations that they attend. I don't think when you get involved with someone who's fervent about Scientology, I don't think in your wildest dreams you ever assume that your child might be sent away to a camp or something from that church.
You don't think there was any kind of discussion that, you know?
I don't know. I'm just saying, I think there's one thing when you think about it in the abstract, and then when you're face-to-face with it, after you've had that child and you've raised it for 6 years,
I think it's a totally different situation.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, those are details, according to TMZ.com, that may or may not be the reason behind the divorce.
But that is crazy.
Terrifying stuff. It's Tuesday. That means new releases in CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. The new CDs, Chris Brown, his new CD, Fortune. The deluxe edition is available today. Don't buy that. He hits women.
Yeah.
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida!
Wild Ones, new CD, comes out today. And our buddy Doug Benson has a new comedy CD called Smug Life. That's available today on DVD. You can see God Bless America, Bobcat Goldthwait's hilarious movie. You can check that out. The Hunter with Willem Dafoe. Sam Neill is also available on DVD and TV shows on DVD. Becker, season 4, finally. I've been just watching season 3 of Becker over and over again, desperate to see what happens in season 4. Dynasty, the old 80s show, season 6 is available. And Man vs. Wild, season 6 of that show, also available today. So you can check that out. I was very excited when I heard the news that Johnny Depp, who's 49 years old today, was getting involved with Amber Heard, the smoking hot, beautiful, self-professed lesbian, 26-year-old actress, who apparently isn't so much a lesbian. because now she's with Johnny Depp.
Right?
If that's the story. But now they're telling me that he's also involved with the girl who plays the love interest in the movie The Lone Ranger that he's currently shooting. Her name is Ruth Wilson. She's a smoking hot British actress who's 30 years old. And they say that he's involved with her, too. Now, come on. He's involved with both of these girls?
Hey, dude.
Now I believe none of it. Now I don't think he's involved with anybody.
Dude, he's going to get around now that he's getting the separation.
I know, but
he's Johnny Depp. He can do that.
Amber Heard is apparently on the set hanging out with him riding horses, but when she's not around, he's also knocking boots with the co-star of the movie.
He's Johnny Depp. Have you seen the man? Have you seen the man?
He is dreamy.
Yes.
I got to give him that. HBO has announced they are picking up a lot of their popular TV series for more seasons. Eastbound and Down. The Danny McBride Show has been picked up for a fourth season. We'll get more of those. Newsroom, show which only has aired two episodes so far, but is doing very well for itself in the ratings, has been picked up for a second season. The second episode, by the way, much better than the pilot episode, in my opinion. I think it's got some real potential, this show, so I'm looking forward to it. True Blood has been picked up for a sixth season. And so all of your favorite HBO shows will be returning. And A&E has announced a brand new TV show from the former Lost producer, Carlton Cuse. He is bringing a new series called Bates Motel to A&E. It is a prequel to the classic movie Psycho about Norman Bates, who had a, it's safe to say, disturbed relationship with his mother. This is the prequel years. It shows that actual relationship and why he screwed him up so much and made him slash women to death while dressed in a wig and a dress.
That could be good.
That could be very good. Yeah, yeah. They're saying it's like a Smallville for Psycho. You know, that goes back and shows you the teenage years of Norman Bates.
Before his mom effed him all up.
Exactly.
Norman, what are you doing down there?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Montel Williams, talk show host, is 56 years old today. Actor Tom Cruise celebrates his 50th birthday. Probably not a lot of celebrating going on right now. Thomas Gibson. But you said Omar is a big star on Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds. I love that show.
You love that show.
Yes.
He was also Greg on Dharma and Greg. He's 50 years old today. Connie Nielsen from Gladiator and other movies is 48 years old. Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons, the voice of Lisa on that show, is also 48. Kevin Hearn, keyboardist and guitarist for the Bare Naked Ladies, turns 43. And actress Shawnee Smith from Saw. And Becker. We were just talking about Becker.
There it is.
You can see her on season 4 today on DVD. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money Show joins us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the NBA Finals. So the Clippers are up 3-1, Lakers up 3-2 right now, if I'm doing my math correctly. We'll find out how that's going. Also, we're going to be taking your calls next hour if you are working as or have worked as a masseuse or a masseur and how you navigate those delicate waters when I don't know what percentage, but a fair amount of people who lay down on the table are expecting a little something more than a massage.
Hey, look at that. What are you going to do with that? That kind of thing.
So that's all coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Plus, Matt Green from your Los Angeles Kings and Tenacious D will be here. All of that coming up on K-Rock.
Why do I feel like I'm Catholic and I'm going to confession right now?
Well, because I think it's time for you to share a little bit with the class, Kevin, because you can't just innocently say, oh, how about all those times I got arrested? I never mentioned those before?
Well, it's not that. It's that I just figured everybody was like me.
Really?
Just like...
Most of us don't ever have any encounters with the police.
Huh. Well, all right, here are some of my scraps with the police.
Okay.
And we'll start with when I was young.
The Adventures of Young Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop fire with blowtorches and matches.
That was The Adventures of Young Kevin.
All right, so
what?
We were walking home from school. I was, I don't know, 7 or 8. And it was science fair, so we had matches for some reason and a blowtorch.
Which is appropriate for a 7 or 8 year old.
So me and my brothers were walking home from school. We had to walk through a field. And what we thought would be funny is if we drop a match and then you see it light up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It lights the fire a little bit. And then you step on it, put it out, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we get to the stoplight and we have to wait. And all of a sudden we hear sirens everywhere. And we turn around and look. The entire field is on fire. Probably a full acre.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
So what do you do at that point? You run.
Yes, of course.
Now we're holding matches and a blowtorch in our hands as we run across the intersection where the fire chief was sitting in his car on his way to the call. And he sees these stupid little kids running across the street with a blowtorch. And he pulls over and picks us up, takes us back to school. We were too young, so he released us to our parents. So that happened. That was the first time. And then there was another one when I was in Little League.
The Adventures of Young Kevin.
Hey, look at my ass. It's my ass. Ha ha. I'm Kevin's my ass.
That was The Adventures of Young Kevin.
I was in Little League.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why or how we did this. It's all because it sounds funny to me. Anything that sounds funny to me, I think I lack that next step where people go, yes, but is it a good idea?
Right.
I lack that. So we were in Little League, and they were playing, and we weren't playing that night, and we had a pickup truck. So there were like four of us in the back of the pickup truck, and we all bent over and mooned the entire place, honking. Ah, and we mooned the entire place as we drove by. There was a cop there sitting in his car.
I think what you lack is the ability to see police officers.
Which we couldn't see. And so then he pulled us over and gave us a stern talking to because we were still too young. So that happened. Then
I have heard, by the way, of so many stories where they go, you're so lucky you were under 18 or this could have been more. Now, the mooning thing, that's not a big deal. The fire thing, if you had been a few years old, that's the type of thing that does go on your permanent record.
I've been a pyro since I was a kid. I love fire. All right, now we get into college. Work study program. You have that to help supplement the money that you have. So, so you have a job so that you don't have to pay all of the tuition. So I was a security guard. Now, what kind of screening process was that?
None.
Me being a security guard, which is ridiculous.
The Adventures of Young Kevin.
I'm security guard. I have a rifle. I shoot things.
That was The Adventures of Young Kevin.
All right, so we were security guards. We stayed there for the summer. Everybody else went home. Somebody left a car parked in the wrong place. It wasn't supposed to be parked there, but they left it there all summer.
Oh, wow.
So first we started throwing rocks.
You're the security guard.
Yes. And then the other guy that was a security guard that was with me said, hey, I've got a rifle. And I said, let's get it.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you?
Are you kidding?
No.
Shoot out the windows of somebody else's car for fun? I don't think I would.
Well, you don't shoot out the windows except on accident. You're trying to hit a mirror. You're trying to really, like, hone in on certain things. You're aiming at certain things.
And God knows you're a sure shot.
We destroyed that car so bad. And people heard the gunshots.
Of course.
And,
oh, my God.
Called the police. And then that happened.
What happened, though?
They just, they talked to the school. The school reprimanded me. I don't know.
You guys were shooting a rifle and you didn't get in more trouble than that?
That's my talent.
Wow.
Were they bullets? Was it a real rifle?
Yeah, but it was a small, it was like a .22.
Whatever.
Right, but imagine.
It was only a .22. It's like a BB gun.
In your neighborhood tonight, if somebody started shooting at a car in your neighborhood with a rifle, what should happen to them?
They should go to jail. But in this case, it was a college campus, and so there weren't.
Oh, I forgot
shooting on
the laws don't exist at a college
campus. No, but I mean, it's not a neighborhood, is what I'm saying. There aren't houses everywhere. There's a lot of land, and this was over by the gym, and the a-hole left it there all summer.
Parked, oh, that's right. It is his fault. I did forget
illegally.
That
taught
him a lesson.
So we just started. It started slowly with the rocks, and then we thought, let's get the gun.
Seriously.
Sure. Oh, my God.
All right, so there was that, and then there was. I was still a security guard. And
shockingly.
I, of course, had keys to every building.
The Adventures of Young Kevin.
I'm security guard. I put trampoline for basketball.
That was The Adventures of Young Kevin.
What happened now?
All right, so I'm on before midnight. The guy that comes on at midnight.
Uh-huh.
We meet in the gym at like 11 because there's no one. This is during the summer again. There's no one there. So we would play basketball or whatever because we weren't security guarding, really. And we found a trampoline. So we thought, this would be great. We'll put the trampoline like right near the free throw line. And that way we could really get a running start and hit it. And then we could get up and jam it. That would be
great. Okay. You could dunk like easily, right?
Right. So this is, I don't know, 1 in the morning. And we're doing that. And the trampoline collapses. And I mean cut a hole in the floor. In the basketball floor, the main floor, probably 2 inches deep.
Wow.
Like, not a scratch, not something that no one would notice. It was a full-on cut in the floor.
So yeah, you wrecked that floor.
Yes.
The guys that are supposed to prevent just that kind of thing from happening
are
actually the guys that do that.
I blame the people who let me be a security guard. That's who I blame. Because if you know anything about me, you know, don't give him a badge.
Or keys.
Or keys.
Or a gun.
Or access to a rifle.
Or
yes.
a rock.
Well, I didn't really have a gun. They didn't give us guns as security guards, but my friend had a gun, so it wasn't much of a gun. It was a .22.
Oh, my God.
So this is, if you had been the security guard and you had been working like you were supposed to, and you came across two other yahoos who were basically vandalizing
yes!
the school basketball court, what you were supposed to take care of them, right?
Right.
Arrest them or
but
whatever.
But there was no one there. It was summer.
So what happened?
So you have to entertain yourself. I had to pay to get the floor fixed. Me and my friend. And that's expensive. I can tell you that right now.
I'm sure it
Those
is.
Those basketball floors do not take well to two-inch cuts right through them.
Did then say you're not a security guard anymore?
No.
Oh, my God.
What does it take?
So now I'm still a security guard. And decided that we needed to play a prank.
This is the worst school ever.
Yes, it is.
Hey, they gave me a degree in English.
It's suddenly yes. becoming clear.
What do you think happens?
They graduated Kevin. They're not taking their jobs very seriously.
And finally,
the adventures of young Kevin.
I'm a security guard. I'll drive your car into the pool. Ha ha! I'm funny, Kevin.
That was the adventures of young Kevin.
What? So we thought we'd play a prank on the basketball coach, who was really a cool guy, and we got along well. We liked him a lot. So we had the keys to every building. So we opened the swimming pool, and it was an Olympic-sized swimming pool, so it had giant doors and everything. And we thought it'd be funny to push this guy's car into the swimming pool.
Oh, no. Okay. This is what you do to guys you like?
Well, yeah, I would never do it to somebody I didn't like.
Well, how do you think they're going to get it out of the pool?
Do you think that we thought that far ahead?
You didn't think that far?
No.
But if you like someone, why do you intentionally do thousands of dollars of damage to their property?
Because he would play pranks on us. Nothing that expensive. But, dude, you know me. When something sounds fun, that's it. That's the end of my thought process.
Cars don't really recover from that, right?
I don't think they do, but I wasn't thinking
it may still be there today, Lisa.
Well, no, because we were really super lame, and we pushed it, but then we bailed. We didn't want to be in the car, of course.
Right.
When it went in the pool.
Right.
So we pushed it, and it just went far enough for the front wheels to fall over the edge. And a little bit of the engine was in the water. Now we're thinking, holy crap, the car's not in the pool, and we can't get the car out of the pool. Now what do we do? And you should have seen us for hours. We were trying to figure out how to push the car up. And maybe we could get a giant, you know, 2x4 or something so that we get some leverage and get it up. And we couldn't do anything about it. And we left it there. And then the next day we went in and we told the basketball coach what happened. And then he was cool and didn't press charges.
Are you kidding?
What?
That,
You're
my
a
friends.
Hoodlum.
That, my friends, is my talent.
You're an absolute degenerate.
Kevin, God damn it.
I am speechless. I am too.
Okay, this goes further than most of you know. But knowing who I am, you know, like, I'm the I'm in guy. My wife always complains about this. Hey, let's do this. I'm in. My thought processes all stop at this will be fun.
I don't understand how all these adults around you don't at some point go, all right, that's it.
Yes.
You are a
juvenile delinquent and you are expelled or something.
They didn't even let me stop being a security guard.
Oh, my God. How do they still have their credentials?
I'm not sure they do. The answer to that.
Speaking of Ralph.
Yes.
Michael Bay in the news.
Douche.
I've never seen any of his movies, but they're terrible, right?
Douche.
why is the internet on fire about some announcement that he made about the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot? What's the beef here?
He's screwing with our heroes on the half shell.
You mean you're one of the crazy people who has the internet on fire over what Michael Bay is doing?
It's not crazy, man. It's just how things are meant to be.
What's he doing with the turtles?
Our four beloved mutant Teenage Ninja Turtles have an origin, how they came to be. Toxic waste came across them while they were just little pet turtles in their bowl. And they mutated, as is in the name of the character, Mutant, and became four crime-fighting turtles with ninja powers, thanks to their mentor, Splinter the Rat.
Okay, so that's a realistic story.
What was the rat's name? Splinter, right? Yeah. And they were named after the four, of course, classic Renaissance painters.
Right. So what's he doing with it? How is he changing it?
Well, he comes out and he's talking about how he's got the product now and he's going to make a big feature film. And he said, oh, yeah, and they're going to be aliens.
By the way,
they're going to be aliens. They're going to come from another planet.
No, okay. No, no, that's not how it works.
But isn't it possible that the movie can still be great even if their origin is a little bit different, if they're aliens? But
no,
isn't the important thing?
No, no,
all right, let me ask the question.
No, 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 no.
But
no, 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 no.
What I'm saying?
No, 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 no.
I made a joke. All right, I made a joke earlier that people were complaining that Michael Bay was raping their childhood, and I had not read this article yet from TheWrap.com. Robbie Rist, former voice actor of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, said that the rape of our childhood memories continues.
Yes.
He says you are sodomizing the story.
Not only was Robbie Rist one of the Teenage Turtles, but he also was Cousin Oliver in the Brady Bunch. So you've got to take what he says for reals.
I know people believe in mutating talking turtles is kind of silly to begin with, but am I supposed to be led to believe that there are ninjas from another planet, he says? So apparently he is one of the many who is outraged. Michael Bay is saying that everybody should just chill. You don't know, man. You haven't seen the script. It's going to be great. So we asked producer Dave if he could line up the elusive director, producer Michael Bay, and find out what he really has in store for the changes he's got planned for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I believe we have Mr. Bay on the phone with us right now. Hi, Michael. Can you hear us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's it going,
man? Hey, we're doing great. Thank you so much.
Teenage Ninja Turtles is going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the project, but you haven't shot frame one yet, and you already have the Mutant Ninja Turtle fans up in arms.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I have so many ideas. It's going to be incredible. First of all, they're going to be from another planet, right? So they come here to Earth, and the next thing you know, like, they start transforming into, like, cars and trucks and stuff and everything. They're mutant ninja nerd transforming Ninja Turtle cars.
Wait, hold on a sec. You're already doing those movies. That's Transformers. That doesn't have anything to do with the turtles.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, all the turtles are on a battleship, and they see this creature come out of the out of the water, and then blow up, and then the other thing blows up, and one of the turtles blows up over there, and then the ship that was coming out of the water, that blows up too.
Okay, listen, that's Battleship. That's already a separate movie. You don't have to put all of your ideas into one film.
Then all the turtles go back in time, and it's like the 1940s, and the Japanese are coming at us, man. They come out of nowhere. They come to the skies. Oh, Ninja Turtle, Dominant Bomb. Oh, they're Navy Mutant Ninja Turtle Pearl Harbor Turtles.
They don't have to have anything to do with Pearl Harbor again. That was a movie based on a historical event. Why can't you just make the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles based on the origin that people already love about them?
Then the turtles get in prison, and they're like, on Alcatraz, right? And they gotta get off Alcatraz. So how are they gonna do it? Well, they got bombs! And they start blowing up Alcatraz! And then the Japanese are dying left and right, and then they transform into giant robot Ninja Turtle spacecraft from alien planet Turtlesville. Ania.
I think maybe less caffeine for you, and maybe let somebody else write the script.
Dude, it's gonna blow up! And then April, right? She's like, oh, Ninja Turtles! Oh, you said, help me, help me! Like, we'll help you, April! We'll bless
you! You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation, but we are doing live show biz beats every hour for your entertainment and education.
I like beats! Come on!
Freaking beer mug. Tragic news, breaking news coming out of North Carolina. It looks as if TV legend Andy Griffith has passed away at the age of 86 years old. Of course, had a smash hit TV series late in life called Matlock, where he played a defense attorney. But he's best known, I guess, for The Andy Griffith Show, where he played Sheriff Andy Taylor with his young son, Opie, a single dad raising his kid, trying to teach him how to do right. And I'll tell you something. You can watch that show now, and it's not laugh-out-loud funny. It really never was. But it is one of the sweetest, kindest, gentlest family comedies you'll ever see. He played a great TV dad. And, of course, Ron Howard, who went on to legendary fame as Richie Cunningham on the Happy Days show and a famous and talented movie director. He was just a brilliant little kid actor playing that Opie. Real sweet show. And I always thought Andy Taylor was one of the best TV dads. He really seemed like a real dad as opposed to a lot of other TV dads. So Andy Griffith, a great actor, by all accounts just a great guy, has passed away at the age of 86 years old in his hometown there in North Carolina. He was born in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and went back there to live even when he became a big star, and it's where he called his place home. So sad news for TV fans today, but big bucket of wind for Andy Griffith. Let's talk about other showbiz news, like the fact that Van Halen has now officially canceled the rest of their tour.
Why?
Yeah, back in May, the band announced it was pushing back 30 dates after its show in New Orleans on June 26th because, in the words of Eddie Van Halen, we bit off a bit more than we could chew, and that the tour would resume later this year. Well, now Polestar.com and Ticketmaster say the same thing, which means all those dates have been canceled. So if you saw Van Halen on this tour, consider yourself one of the lucky ones. You know those holiday movies like New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Where they just pick a holiday and they get a bunch of stars and then they make a movie out
of it. They're always awful.
Yeah. They're making a new one.
Okay.
Called Mother's Day. And here's the concept here, which is they're going to get real actresses and their real daughters to play mother and daughter in the film. For example, Susan Sarandon and her smoking hot daughter, Eva Amuri, is going to play her daughter in that. And then Andy McDowell and her real-life daughter, Rainey Qualley, she's going to play her daughter in that. So it'll be real mother and daughter pairings of actresses. That is a flimsy concept to hang a movie on, in my opinion. But these movies are never good, so it doesn't really matter.
With the exception of Groundhog's Day.
Well, that was different because it wasn't the same guy. This is guy Gary Marshall who makes all these movies. He picks a holiday and then fills it up.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Groundhog's Day was a different film, but that was that was very good. Gautier, by the way, once you know he's not dead. Apparently, rumors cropped up over the weekend via that treacherous internet that he had committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. That is not the case. That is simply the fantasy of many of us who have heard that song over and over again. Gautier went to his Twitter to confirm that he's very much alive. His bass player, however, then tweeted the following message. It saddens me to confirm the news of Gautier's passing. He suffered cardiac arrest while flying a unicorn over a double rainbow. So you're not helping things, bass player, with your little tomfoolery and your shenanigans.
Funny.
Game Show Network has announced a new game show called the American Bible Challenge, where Jeff Foxworthy will ask you questions about the Bible. This is going to be a show.
What?
August 23rd, it's premiering on the Game Show Network, the American Bible Challenge.
Like, in, they would ask you in Genesis verse blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Trivia questions about the Bible.
Entire game.
Whole game about trivia, Bible trivia.
Hmm.
Except for Kirk Cameron. I can't imagine anyone who's going to be watching this show. But it'll be Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, and we'll see if anybody watches.
Maybe Reverend Gerald Polly would be watching, too.
Maybe he would. Yeah. And this is sexy. This is a sexy, sexy secret, if this is true.
Oh, tell me.
Emily Maynard, who's the Bachelorette on The Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
They say that she's not going to pick any of the guys from The Bachelorette to be with.
Because she's going to pick?
Because apparently she and newly separated host Chris Harrison of the show have gotten cozy.
Are you serious?
The host is banging the Bachelorette.
That's awesome.
If it's true, it's the greatest story ever. Sounds like something we did on Joe Schmo years ago, where I played the host and I was banging one of the contestants. Apparently, sources are telling Star Magazine that they've gotten very, very lovey-dovey, and that's the reason she doesn't end up with anybody on the show, is because she's actually in love with the host.
That guy's pretty funny.
Chris?
The host?
Yeah, we've had him on. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Talented guy. And he just separated from his wife. And everybody's like, what's all that about? So maybe now.
There you go.
What's that all about? Today is Tuesday. That means new releases, CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. You can check out Chris Brown's new CD, Fortune, although we don't recommend it because he hits women.
Yep.
Flo Rida. He's got a new CD, Wild Ones. That's available today. Doug Benson. New comedy CD called Smug Life. Our buddy Doug's got a new CD. DVD, speaking of buddies, Bobcat Goldthwait's movie God Bless America drops on DVD and Blu-ray today. The Hunter with Willem Dafoe. And on TV, shows on DVD, we've got Man vs. Wild Season 6, Dynasty, the classic nighttime soap opera, Season 6 of that show, and Becker, the sitcom starring Ted Danson in his post-Cheers life. Season 4 is available on DVD. Speaking of Becker, as we look at celebrity birthdays, actress Shawnee Smith, who was on Becker and Saw, she is 43 years old today. Actress Olivia Munn, who you saw on The Newsroom this weekend, if you're watching on HBO, she's 32. Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons, the voice of Lisa on that program, is 48. Also 48 is Connie Nielsen from Gladiator and other films. Thomas Gibson, who's on Criminal Minds and was on Dharma and Greg, is 50. Tom Cruise, also 50 today. Montel Williams, 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Well, it is the countdown to Samageddon. You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh!
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right.
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's Countdown to Samageddon.
Kevin, let's bring our audience and Lisa May up to speed, because Lisa was on vacation last week, so she missed the countdown that we did every day, looking forward to catching up with our old friend Sam today.
What did she miss?
Well, Lisa, I mean, we did play some highlights. We played some highlights of Sam the Armenian Comedian. We played some music that he did. Mm-hmm. We played some of the different interviews that we've had with him. We played jokes. I mean, we really have been getting in the mood to talk to him, and today was the day that
it was
Sam...
a career retrospective. I mean, it was really, yeah. It was just like the coming attractions, and today was the day that we were going to see the first brand new Sam the Armenian Comedian movie in 2 years, because he wasn't allowed to come on with us for the last 2 years, restraining order and whatnot. So we were so excited, and then what happened? What was the chink in the armor last week?
Well, last week I called Sam. He was very excited to hear from me. He wanted to come back on the show. Everything was great. I went home. He called Dave back, the King of Mexico, and he said, I have demands. I need things before I come in. So we were like, what are you talking about? We just talked to you.
Now, the understanding that I got from hearing from you and Dave and Lightning, all of whom talked to Sam, is that it's not coming from Sam. It's actually coming from his lovely wife, Julie. Is that correct?
I think. That's what he's telling us.
Okay.
So we should talk to Mrs. Comedian and find out. This is the next step to getting him in the studio.
We have Mrs. Comedian on the phone with us right now. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. Long time no talk.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing it. First of all, can we say that you are a saint? You have been married to Sam, the Armenian Comedian, for how long?
31 years.
Wow. How do you do it? That's unbelievable.
I know.
So the brief recap version for our listeners, Mrs. Comedian, is that the Armenian Comedian, your husband, called in a bomb threat to the radio station 2 years ago. And we got him on the phone once we heard about it. He called on the weekend and talked to some of the kids who answer the phone at K-Rock. And we got a hold of him that following Monday. And we said, Sam, you understand that we live in a post-9/11 world, and you can't make threats like this because they are taking seriously, and it is very dangerous. So please tell us that you were kidding, that you didn't mean it, that you don't plan to blow up the radio station. And he would not back down. In fact, he doubled down and said, the bombs are already around the radio station, and if you guys don't do what I want you to do, I am going to blow up the building. And it was completely out of our hands, Julie. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't call anybody, but the police were listening, and they contacted us and said, we need to get in contact with this man and find out what's going on. And you know what happened after that. He got arrested. He ended up in jail, and a restraining order happened. Does all that sound familiar to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Is it accurate so far?
It's very bad for me. You know, what he did, he didn't tell me, but I am very, very sorry what he did, he says, and he keeps saying that it was so embarrassing for me, very much. I'm very sorry what he did. It's a crazy out of hand.
Okay. Yes. It's very crazy, and you should know, though, that even when we were talking to Sam and even when we were talking to the police, we said, look, we don't think he is dangerous. We have been friends with this man for 15 years. We're not asking you to do anything, but they, you know, it's out of our hands at that point. They have to take these things seriously, and there have to be repercussions for that kind of conduct.
Yes. That's right. Correct. Yes.
All right, Mrs. Comedian. Now, Sam called us back, and he said that you, specifically, he kind of pinned it on you. He said you wanted some things to happen before he came back in.
No. You know Sam, guys. You know him 15 years. I know him 31 years. Okay? So I'm living with him. I know how it is. But I really, it's his fault what he did. But he wants to go back, that's fine.
Okay.
But I heard, because emotionally I come sick, and I cry days, and my kids, you know, I have two boys.
Oh.
When you're, you know, dad in a jail, you know how you're going to feel. I know he's guilty. First of all, I didn't know until I told him, you stay in jail. I want to find out what you did, you have to punish.
You did make him stay in jail, didn't you? I love that.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? He has to punish what he says.
I don't care
how much I forgive. I'm a wife, you know, you have to love him, blah,
of
blah,
course.
Blah. But you can't do that. you know?
All right. Now, let me just run down the list of things that he says.
Remind me. It's horrible.
No. I'm not talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about these are things that Sam is insisting. He said you were insisting, but let's say he was insisting that really? That have to happen before he comes into the studio.
Oh, I don't have no idea.
Okay. Sam told us that you needed an apology.
No.
Okay. He told us that we have to have a breakfast with him. He told us that we need to raise $10,000.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
And then he called back and said he needed to go on Loveline as well.
Oh, no.
Okay, so none of this is from you.
No. You know what I did tell to him when he got arrested and he got a restraining order? I told him, if you call Kevin and Bean or you listen Kara closely, I'm divorcing you. Oh. End of. This is childish.
Wow.
And it's stupid what you did. I'm not your wife. I'm not going to put up with you.
Okay.
Wow.
That was my point. That's
now,
it.
Mrs. Comedian, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he understood what he did, that he took responsibility for it, that he was sorry for it, and that he'll never do it again?
I hope so. I pray for that.
Okay, I do, too.
And I'll tell you this, Julie, we have missed Sam so much. I mean, we have been looking at the calendar every month going, how long till we can get our man back on the air? Aww. Because he's been an important part of our show for a long time. And
that's
it's been a
so
long. Well, it's
you.
Been a long 2 years without Sam, and we're dying to catch up. So it really kind of hurt our feelings when then we found out, oh, we can't have him on today as planned because of all this bad feelings.
No, that's not true. No, I wouldn't say you don't know me that much the way you know Sam. I'm a
right.
sweet, I'm a kind person.
Oh, no. I know. Every time we met you, we think that. But and you know, look, Sam told us that you said it. We believed he said it probably. But there's not going to be any $10,000. He knows that, right?
Of course not.
Okay.
And you know what? It's not your responsibility. I'm his wife. I have to take care of him. You know, I'm hurt because financially and emotionally I come sick. And I don't want, anything happen.
I don't
either. After who's paying the high price? Me.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Lisa, can you believe how sweet this woman is?
She's a saint.
She's a saint.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it. She's why don't you get the hell out of there? Seriously.
Yes.
Aren't the kids old enough that you could just leave?
That's a great question.
You could just get up in the middle of the night. He wouldn't even know.
I know.
All right. So if all of this is resolved, is there any reason that you can think of, Mrs. Comedian, that Sam could not join us on the show tomorrow?
He can join. With the pleasure. You know what? Let me honestly. He was dying to call you anytime. I did tell him, if I find out it'd be end of your marriage, I will leave and I will go far away.
Oh.
You know, I was telling 2 years it was very hard for him because he loves you and he loves his friend.
Well, we're very sorry that you got put through any of this. That's a terrible thing.
Because Sam, he stayed two nights in a jail. One night I told him, you have to stay. I'm going to punish you what you did.
Two nights? Wow, you're hardcore. I like that.
My kids, my two boys, they cry. They says, Mother, let me have your credit card, bail him up. I said, no, I have to find what he did. He says, I didn't do nothing. I said, I have to find out. And after that, I will make decision and I'll take him care of.
Right.
Believe me, I pay all the bills. I don't want to go through. You know how expensive to go in court to pay all expense. But God, he loves me. You know, someone helped me. Because you know what I'm mad? Because you guys, okay, what he did is wrong. It's his responsibility. But at least you guys call me. Julie, you need anything, ask me. You know, I was horrible. You know, I lost 10 pounds in 5 days.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're glad to get a chance to talk to you. It was your husband did not call us for 2 years, so he was true to his word on that. And we are very excited about trying to talk to him tomorrow and catch up. And I'm glad that you guys are still together and hanging in there and being young and in love. And I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you as well, Julie.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for asking.
You bet.
We'll talk to you soon, my dear. Bye-bye now.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. A couple of reasons to go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. One is the Kings are in the Stanley Cup Finals, and for some reason,
I hadn't heard anything about that. Really?
For some reason, the local news keeps putting us stories about the Sacramento Kings and the NBA. They put their logo, they put their mascot. I mean, seriously, that's absurd.
It is hilarious for a team that's been in town since the 1967 season that nobody who works in local news seems to know what their colors are.
Third round of the playoffs, right. So they've had two rounds before this.
Yes.
It's just crazy. So you can go look at that. While you're there at the Kevin and Bean page, check out Motley Crue's Tommy Lee buys new Fisker hybrid supercar. Now, I don't know what this is.
I've never heard of it.
But Tommy Lee is very, very excited by it.
This is the luxury car of the year, according to Top Gear magazine. Car of the year, according to Top Gear TV. And apparently it is a hybrid, Kevin. Apparently it has fewer emissions than a Toyota Prius. But it only travels up to 50 miles on a charge.
Now, what?
How do you pay $100,000 for a car, albeit a beautiful car, and make it work if it only goes 50 miles on a charge?
Do you have extra batteries in the trunk? You have to pull over and get out?
I don't know, but I do know that we put the video up of the car being delivered to Tommy Lee's Calabasas home, and listen to what he had to say as it pulled into the driveway. You tell me whether Tommy Lee's excited or not.
Yeah, what's up, dude? Badass.
You.
That is sex, dude. Sweet.
What's up?
Tommy Lee, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, all right, partying, yeah.
You're very happy with your new car, huh?
Oh, yeah, my car is rock and roll. All right, yeah, rip it.
It's a Fisker hybrid super. You okay, Tommy?
What'd you say, dude?
I said it's a Fisker hybrid supercar.
I thought you said Fisker.
No, Fisker. No, it's Fisker.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. All right.
That would have
been. Yeah. Bananas, man.
I don't know. I don't understand any of the technology involved in how this thing works. It says twin AC motors straddling the rear axle deliver 402 horsepower to the differential. I guess that's good, Tommy?
Yeah. Oh, it's rock and roll. Ripping and tearing on the freeways of life. Yeah, bananas.
What about, as I understand in this article at kevinandbean.com, what about the fact that it only goes 50 miles on a charge? It seems like that's to get you to the supermarket and back's about all you can do with a $100,000 car.
Hey, you know, I was saying that it's important, you know, to get a hybrid. Yeah, because the environment is important too. I mean, Earth is a planet. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Expound on that.
Hey, Bean.
Yes, Tommy Lee.
Have you ever had group sex with Dog the Bounty Hunter and Al Roker?
No. I don't think anyone ever has.
Hopefully no one has.
I have. I highly recommend it. All right.
You've done that, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Tommy, have you driven anywhere in the car?
Oh, yeah, man. I've driven all over the place. I drove to go kayaking with Ozzy. I drove to the bar with Blackie Lawless. And then next thing I know, I was rock climbing with Mark Knopfler. All right. Yeah. Rock and roll.
Your life is crazy. Now, you're going to leave the car behind this summer. You're going out on a big tour with the band Kiss. What's that going to be like? Hello? Tommy?
Hello?
Tommy?
Sorry. Yeah. Hey,
what happened?
Sorry. I passed out because I got a boner and all the blood in my body went to my dong.
That's something to be careful of.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
You're listening to us at 8:50 in the a.m. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, so we are playing for you the best of Kevin and Bean, the best being, of course, a relative term. But I am Ralph Garman. I am doing the Showbiz Beat each and every hour. Thanks so much for tuning in. Sad news this morning. We've been talking about it earlier. Andy Griffith, one of the legends of television, has passed away at the age of 86 years old today. He passed away in his home state of North Carolina. Was born there, moved back there even after he became a star. He, of course, was Matlock on television for many years, but primarily known for this particular show, The Andy Griffith Show, where he played a single dad who was a sheriff in a small town named Mayberry, raised his son Opie with the help of
his Aunt B, and a bunch of crazy characters who lived in that town. It is kind of old-fashioned. It is kind of corny, but you know what? It's kind of a sweet show still today. And he, of course, a huge, huge star on television. Passed away at the age of 86. Was in poor health towards the end of his life. So he will be missed. That's for sure. Let's talk about stuff a little bit more, upbeat. We've got a new song from Willow Smith.
Yes,
finally. Here's something.
Yes,
you feel bad about Andy Griffith passing. You say, you know what, Ralph, what can you do to make me feel better? I say, well, you know how long we've been waiting for a follow-up to I Whip My Hair Back and Forth?
Yeah.
Well, finally, the musical powerhouse that is Willow Smith is giving us a follow-up, the follow-up that we deserve. It is a song called I Am Me. The video is on the internets right now. You can check it out. Here's a little taste of I Am Me.
I am me, I am me, I am me. I am free, I am free, I am free. I am me, I am me, I am me. I am free, I am free.
Okay, all right, okay, time out.
I am me.
Time out. Let me get this straight. You are you. You are free, you are free, you are free.
I am me, I am me, I am me.
Okay, got this.
I am free, I am free, I am free.
No! Finally, some introspection. Finally, she's pulling it back, and she's giving us the personal ballad that we've been waiting for. Because I'm often thinking, sure, she can whip her hair back and forth, but what's really inside this 11-year-old?
Oh,
what can this 11-year-old teach me about life?
She's deep, Ralph. Somebody went, yes. Put that on wax.
Let me read you some of the other lyrics. Days pass, I'm trying to find out who I really am. I've been looking. People don't like the way I dress or where I'm at. I'm me. That's all I can be. Here's my vulnerability. I'm free and you can't stop me. I am me and that's all I can be. You're 11. Not so long ago, you were peeing and pooping in your pants. Relax.
I am me. I am me. I am me.
You don't need to sit there and worry about your life and your identity and what's you're freaking 11. Go color in a book.
I am free, I am free, I am free.
Of course you're free, you're 11. You know when you stop being free? When you have to go out and get a job.
I am me, I am me.
Support
I am
your
me.
Family.
I am free, I am free.
I was free when I was 11 too. Sat in my room, read comic books. Discovered myself. In my pants. I was plenty free. You know what I'm not now? I'm not free now. Because I'm a grown up. Don't sing to me. Don't you sing to me.
I am free. I am free. I am free.
Son of a bitch.
So you like it?
Yeah, it's good.
No.
More music news. Pennywise frontman Zoli Teglis. He has passed away. Nope. He is.
What? I was like, oh my God.
Wow. He passed out. Passed out from back pain during a performance in Germany last Friday. Severe back pain brought him right down to his knees and sent the singer straight to the hospital for emergency surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. It was bad news. All this has come of light as of today from social media, Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing. Zoli was having back pain throughout the tour, and at Full Force Festival, he collapsed on stage a few times during the set. He was taken to the emergency room, where they said he needed an immediate operation or risk the chance of paralysis.
Damn.
So apparently he had the emergency surgery, and apparently he is on the heel. He had a herniated disc, and so he is expected to make a full recovery. Everything went as well as it could be in terms of the surgery, according to sources, and he should be recovering nicely. Unfortunately, due to the recovery time, the last leg of the Pennywise tour has been canceled. So, sad news for Pennywise fans, but good news for Zoli's fans because apparently he will make a full and complete recovery, which is good news.
I hear he passed away.
I gotta go tweet an apology. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Shawnee Smith. She is from Saw and Becker, 43 years old today. Actress Olivia Wilde. Nope. Olivia Munn. I said Olivia Mild. That's
like
a cross between Olivia Wilde and Olivia Munn.
You know, I think it feels like a Friday, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you know why? Because we're off tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why.
Yeah.
Olivia Munn is 32 years old today. Kevin Hearn of Bare Naked Ladies turns 43. Yeardley Smith From The Simpsons, voice of Lisa on that program. She is 48. Connie Nielsen of Gladiator fame and other motion pictures. She is 48. Thomas Gibson from Criminal Minds and Darman Greg is 50. Tom Cruise celebrates his 50th birthday today. And Montel Williams, TV talk show host, turns 56. And you know who else is celebrating a birthday today? David Shore, the creator of House. Friend of the show. He's been on a couple times. Super talented and super nice guy who gave us so many great hours of television with House. David Shore celebrates his birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So it sounds like last Friday when the topic came up about what you claimed was my OCD having to do with numbers, it sounded like you were trying to paint it out that I was the freak and that you guys were all normal. And in reality, it's the other way around. It turns out you guys are the freaks for not paying attention to your numbers. And I have lots of support from the listeners.
Right.
On my side.
Support does not mean that it's normal or right.
We were not saying that it was only you, Bean.
Right.
It doesn't make it right because other people sent you emails saying I'm effed up too.
No, but it does make it normal if the vast majority of people are like me and you're in the minority.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
We got this from Bean, I believe, said the sentence that I've never heard before. Well, nobody likes ugly numbers.
They make him feel icky.
Yeah.
They make me feel icky.
No way.
Yes.
That's normal.
So I wrote down on my little pad of paper, ugly numbers, question mark. What does that mean?
We were having a discussion about, how did it even come up, by the way, that we were talking about pumping gas?
Yeah,
right?
I think somebody called with that one. I don't remember. But
we were talking about pumping gas, and we were talking about if you were pumping gas, if you weren't listening, here's the brief recap. You're pumping gas, and the pump stops, and it's at 22:34. You don't just pull the pump out and pay and go on your way.
Let me just stop you right there. Yes, you do.
No, because then you're driving away with 22:34 on the pump. What you want to do is you want to just squeeze a little bit more gas in there and take it up to, 24:40, better still, 24:50. That's what you want to do.
Why,
and then you feel good about it.
Why do you feel good about that?
Because then it's so fresh and so clean, and you get in your little car and you just drive away, and you feel like all is right in the world. You feel like you've buttoned it up.
What is
I don't have to button up the price of my gas.
I don't understand that.
It's not unbuttoned to begin with. It's whatever it is.
Dear Bean, I feel compelled to write in because I realize we share a special bond. I, too, cannot pump gas without stopping on a whole dollar amount. I'm not sure why. It's something I've done for as long as I can remember. If I don't think I can make it to the next dollar amount because, for example, I was at 21:14 and tried to make it to 22 but accidentally passed that to 22:01, I will, as a last resort, stop at the next 50 point like 22:50. There's something comforting about the whole dollar amount. Like you said on the show, every time an uneven dollar amount of gas is pumped, an angel cries. I didn't say that, but I wish I had.
All of you that agree with Bean to realize that you agree with Bean.
Right.
I just want you to realize
you've
that.
Got
that was
issue.
From Peter.
And that should make you doubt yourself.
Thomas writes in, Bean, I fully agree with you. The gas pump has to end in an even dollar amount. There have been times that I've gone over by a cent, and I'll have to get it to another 99 cents in just to make it even. Tell Ralph and Kevin to suck it. That comes from Tom. Bean, this is Peter from Fullerton. I do the exact same thing at the gas pump. Anything else would be uncivilized. It just goes on
even
and on.
Even with
on
a credit card, though. This is not about change or anything else. Even with a credit card.
When it makes zero difference.
You don't feel like life is in balance unless you land on a 50 cent or a dollar?
It doesn't matter what I feel like. It's what it is. It's what the reality of the situation is.
Right. That's what I mean. What you feel like.
Then we started to get other emails that weren't about the gas. We got a couple on this topic, for instance. I'm with you on the gas, and I also do it when I'm listening to the radio. The volume on my radio has to end in either a 5 or a 0. I don't know why. It just has to. That's from Laurelin.
What?
And by the way, we got several of those from people who say that they only adjust the radio volume in certain amounts. Then we got to people, and this is something we didn't have a chance to talk about on Friday. I told you guys something off the air that I then got a ton of emails from people on the air, which is people who round their tips amounts to even numbers at a restaurant.
Which is rude beyond words.
Yes.
That's
rude. Because you're giving
rude.
The server an uneven amount.
So
you're giving them change.
If you get something for $12 and you want to make it $15, but that's not quite the tip amount or whatever, it's $12.60 or something. So you put $2.40 of a tip on there to make it 15.
Of course, obviously.
Okay, so then the server gets $2.40 as a tip.
Obviously.
Just so you can feel good about it being a round number?
Now, I never – this is important. This is an important distinction. I never shortchange the server. If anything else, she gets additional money in order for me to round
she
it up.
She gets a whole extra 40 cents? That's
perhaps.
Awesome.
But I'm saying okay, I don't, so you I don't
go
cheat
under
her.
15%. Okay, fine. That's
I don't cheat her.
That's
but
valid.
She does get more. But I want my final bill for that meal to be $11 or $16 or $28 or whatever it is, and I'll adjust the tip so that that amount comes out to an even dollar amount.
Here's what I think the difference is. I have a life.
I have a life,
and
too,
but
I'm just I'm spending it on important things while you're going all willy-nilly, just letting
your
numbers
spending
fly
it on
where they may.
Things. I filled up my car over the weekend, Bean. This is going to drive you crazy. I just put the little automatic thing on. I just let it go till it clicked, and then I took it out and put it in and drove home.
But how did you zip up your life?
I was
or
super.
Button up your life.
My life was buttoned up, and it was zipped up or whatever it needed to be. I was perfectly fine.
So are you saying you don't have OCD or Asperger's?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Just because other people have OCD doesn't make you in the right, Bean.
I am saying that you are a savage, you're uncivilized, and you shouldn't be allowed out with the regular population. Look,
just because there are other serial killers out there doesn't mean you can't go kill people and go, hey, there's other ones.
Let's talk
people
to Christine.
People eat their hair. That doesn't make it all
That's
right.
That's correct.
Let's talk to Christine online, too, and here's what we want to do. We want to hear from people who are doing it right. We want to hear from people who have a number
system.
And by
doing it right, you mean obsessed with numbers, which means special needs.
You've got a number system in place that keeps the universe in order. You don't just throw numbers around willy-nilly without concern or care like Lisa and Kevin do. We want to hear from you if you've got a system, whether it involves your alarm clock, the volume on your radio in your car, your bank account, whatever it is. 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear what you're doing with the numbers, and let's take Christine real quick before the break.
All right, Christine, hi.
Hi. So I have a number thing with my savings account.
With your savings account.
Yeah, so interest goes in. It could be like 34 cents. It literally will drive me crazy. I can't even round to the next dollar. I have to round to the next $50, $25,
or okay,
whatever.
Wait,
do you hear
wait.
That, Bean? It drives her crazy.
Okay, wait. Let me just see if I get this straight. So you're saying if your money in your savings account earns interest, you notice that it's 34 cents, you have to add money to your account to make sure that it's even?
Yeah, and
you
used to work
crazy.
So I used to work at a bank as a teller, and my friends knew this. So my other teller friends, what they did for about a month is they would get their change, deposit it to my savings account.
Of course.
And I didn't know at all.
Of
and
course.
I was losing my mind like about two times a week.
See, this, I don't know, call me crazy. This doesn't seem healthy.
It isn't.
Been adjusted
Christine,
to me.
Well, let me ask you a question, because Bean's trying to make it sound like, oh, we're right, everybody else is wrong. You know you're crazy, right?
I know it's a weird thing that I do have, but, I mean, I went to school for accounting.
I'm going
to
restate the question. You know that you are crazy, right?
There's something wrong
that
bothers you. Okay. You know, my friend that hates the word moist can't get up unless the clock, I think it's either a 02 or 03. The number has to end in a 2.
Well, like, I have a thing like that, too, where I know my snooze goes off for 9 minutes.
Right.
So I have to set my alarm for 16, so I know I can get up by 6:25.
Cuckoo.
Because I snooze once.
Just like my friend.
I'm with Christine. I think she's doing the right thing.
I'm sure
think she's
do.
Only the sane one in this conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christine. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
All right. What are you doing with your numbers? What kind of systems do you have in place? Because it's important. And these people on the show with me need to learn a little something here today. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next right after this on the Kevin.
All right. We're talking to crazy people on today's Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ at 23 minutes after 8. I just want to hear you say. I just want to.
There's nothing crazy about it. It's the way to go.
I just want to hear you admit that perhaps it's a little weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it
at
makes
all.
Sense.
You don't think it's weird at all.
Forbidden Kitten writes into the Kevin Bean Twitter account, if Bean is weird, then I'm crazy. Bank accounts, radio, gas, homework, everything needs to be odd numbers.
Yeah, she's crazy, by the way.
Tom writes in, I hate this topic you guys are doing because you're making fun of exactly what I do. I do even numbers at the pump. My radio has to have the volume on an even number. I make my tips out so the dollar amount is even. Tom, a recently depressed from the topic listener. It's the first time we've ever heard that. All right, let's take some more calls.
Is this all OCD?
I don't know. I don't have OCD, by the way, so I don't know anything
about
OCD.
You're just saying that. I don't even believe
I don't have OCD.
You,
I don't think you believe it either.
I don't.
It's you OCD. Have something.
It's the same people that have to wash their hands three times, or they have to lock the door five times before they go to bed, or they can't step on the cracks in the sidewalk. It's all the same.
I don't step on the cracks
old...
in the sidewalk either.
See, it's all OCD.
But that doesn't mean I'm OCD.
Of course
it just means
it
I don't
does.
Step on the. I don't look. I don't know about you. I don't want to break my mother's back. Okay, maybe you don't care about stuff like that.
God.
I do. Let's talk to Priscilla. She's on line two. She's got a new one here at 1-800-520-1067. Priscilla, we're talking about people who, you know, unlike the people in this room, they know what to do with a number.
Well, I have a thing about the number nine.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my favorite number since I was a kid. And everything has to equal a nine. So I do everything in nines. My gas thing has to equal a nine. I wake up.
Your gas thing, you mean the total.
Has to equal a nine. It's not the last one.
Okay.
Everything has to equal a nine.
So you get up at 6:30 because of 6 and 3.
Okay. Or 7:02 or 7:20 or 6:39.
Wow.
But it has to
Bean,
equal
she's
a nine.
Even crazy for you.
Hold on, I think I'm falling in love. Don't cut her off. Go on, Priscilla.
Well, so it's just, it was my favorite number since I was a kid. And then as I got older, I found out that nine is the number of completion and before another cycle starts.
Right.
And that it's some sort of magical number. And so I do everything.
Did you have
nine.
A favorite number as a kid?
Yeah, it's nine.
Oh, okay. All right. You hadn't mentioned that three times.
There you go. All right.
Thank you very much for the call, Priscilla.
Okay.
Needs to get herself the White Album by the Beatles and just do nothing but listen to number nine, number nine. All right, let's try Matthew. He's on line four. I don't think we've talked about temperature yet. We haven't talked about what's on the thermometer, but I think that's what Matthew's got for us on line four.
Hey, Matthew.
How you doing, guys?
Tell us your craziness.
Hello, Lisa May, by the way.
Hello. Oh.
Hello. I'm actually in my car right now. The thermostat has to be set to an even number. I have like a digital readout in my car. So right now it's at 68.
I see. So you would have to go from 68 to 70.
Correct.
Or 72 or 66. It has to be even.
Correct. Okay. It cannot be odd.
Are you aware that that's a little weird?
I get some flack for it from my wife.
No, but I'm saying, are you aware yourself? Are you aware within yourself that 68 and 69 are relatively the same thing?
I cannot tell the difference. I just like the way it looks.
Okay. All right.
What do you think that's about? Like, why do you think you developed that way?
I don't know. And it doesn't pop up in that many other places. Like, I do the gas thing, I'll admit, but I don't do the tip thing. I don't do anything with my alarm clock. It's kind of just
well, sounds to me like you got a lot of work to do. Sounds to me like you got
I have a lot of things to look into.
Yeah. Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
That's a good question. Thank you, Matthew. We appreciate the call. Hey, let's talk to Kelly. Kelly is a special ed teacher and is going to diagnose us, I think.
Uh-oh. Kelly?
Yes?
First of all, do you have this number thing?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right. What do you make of it? What's going on?
Well, I'm a special ed teacher. I work with autistic kids on a daily basis. And I've come to find out that the normal people, quote unquote, that I work with and other people that I encounter in my life have this number thing. And it kind of creates like a balance in people's lives. And with autistic kids, you know, kids that are actual special needs, like you guys were talking about before,
right.
They have no problem leaving things completely uneven with numbers.
So what you're saying is if I have a lot of these numbers things that we're describing, I'm the normal one.
I believe so.
Exactly.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No, I reject that totally.
But Kelly has the same thing that you have. Bean,
she's just justifying her behavior.
Bean, that's like you diagnosing yourself and saying you're fine, what you're doing.
I'm completely normal. Thank you, Kelly. I agree with your diagnosis 100%, and you are a professional. All right, let's try Cheryl now. Cheryl is on line five, and she actually has OCD. I assume she has been diagnosed with this. Is that right, Cheryl? The doctor told you you have OCD?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And how does that manifest itself for you in terms of numbers?
Well, and I have a lot of things with numbers. Like, I can't get out of bed unless it's a five or a zero.
Right.
I'll keep laying in bed. The same thing with the gas pumps. I'll put in cash most of the time because then I know it's an even number.
Oh, so you'll give them $30 or whatever, and then you know it's an even number, and that's all you can put in.
Exactly. Because even if you use a card, they end up adding a surcharge to that. And so you have to think about, well, what's it going to be once I have the surcharge in?
So surcharge? Meaning you never thought of the surcharge?
Because I don't see that.
You've
I
been
only
doing
see
it wrong all along.
No, I only see the numbers on the pump. I don't see I don't see what's on the statement.
She knows about the surcharge.
It does. It comes up on your card, and so you have to think about that, too. And so because I have OCD, the difference is that it has to do with compulsions and obsessive thoughts. And so if you have these obsessive thoughts about what you're doing and that something bad is going to happen if you don't do this, then that's the difference between just having, you know, a habit. So it's just a habit to go even numbers, or having an obsessive compulsive disorder.
So, Cheryl, you've been diagnosed with OCD.
Yes.
You've been listening to Being describe his number thing.
Yes.
What do you think?
I mean, it sounds like it could be a symptom of OCD because he said he feels gross if he doesn't do it that way.
Right.
If I'm uncomfortable if I get up at a time that is not right in my head.
Yeah. Nobody wants to feel icky. But I will tell you, I spoke with a special ed teacher once who told me that I was one of the normal
ones. The last caller is because she had to say
that. I'm going with that. All right, Cheryl, thanks for the call. So we'll leave it there. So start getting on the stick with your numbers, you guys. Okay. Quit being so sloppy.
Is that what the message is? We need to, Lisa and I need to start. All right.
All right, let's do it.
What's up, K-Rock? Listen.
Jake Johnson in studio. He is Nick on New Girl on Fox. And, of course, has a new movie out coming out tomorrow called Safety Not Guaranteed that we want to talk about. Hey, did Kathy Griffin hit on you on her way out? She's trolling for younger men right now.
No, she walked right by me. I think
it was the beard. Yeah, it was the beard for her.
I'm not her vibe.
I'm too masculine.
I don't know that you're anyone's vibe right this second with that beard.
How dare you, sir? He's a guest.
Let's be honest.
Hey, thank you.
Can we start
being
honest? Okay.
You are looking awfully hairy today. And
thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. Yeah.
I just saw that you on your Twitter. I just saw that you just did the Rich Eisen podcast. You just talked football with him. Is that what you?
Yeah, we talked football yesterday. It was a lot of fun. It was really nice to be able to talk just Bears and not have the other person's eyes go dead.
Yeah.
After 10 minutes of me talking about what I'm excited about the team
this season, though. Yeah, that's how it always starts.
Yeah. There's always the moment when I'm talking sports where the other person goes like, Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
This is equivalent to like Dungeons and Dragons, but with sports, man.
Yeah. But only if you find another Bears fan, then you're good.
Yeah, we can nerd out on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I find. I'm an Eagles guy from Philadelphia, and you can only really get in depth if you're in a bar and they're hanging
Absolutely.
Your colors, and you can do that for hours.
And then you get that moment where you get to go, oh, they actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a lot of Bear fans, then you start saying something, and they go, yeah, and then they go, Walter Payton was the best, huh? Just shut up. Stop.
Ditka. How about Ditka, huh?
Ditka mustaches. Polish sausage. And I'm like, yeah, we got a pretty good team now, too, pal. And they'll go, super fans. That was so funny. And I'm like, really fun to talk to you about Bears.
See you later.
Yeah. Scram, you creep. We're all done here.
Jake is here because although New Girl is in reruns right now, he has a film coming out that I mentioned called Safety Not Guaranteed. Now, if we have this down correctly, it is going to be opening tomorrow at the AMC Century City and the AMC Burbank 16. So it's one of these films that's starting off small and then getting big, right? That's the deal?
Yeah, that's the hope is that it gets big. We're starting here and in New York and Seattle and Portland, and we're going to kind of see if this thing has wings to it.
Boy, is this worth finding. This movie is definitely worth seeking out and going to see. I saw
it
this week.
Ralph?
Yeah, I saw it this week, and I loved this film. One of my favorite films of the year, really.
Too.
Charming beyond expectations.
And tell folks what it's about, Jake.
So here's the premise of this movie. You know, a couple years ago, Jay Leno, who does those headline things, had a headline about a classified ad that was real, and a guy said he's going back in time, he's done this once before, he's looking for a partner, your safety is not guaranteed, bring your own weapons. It's a really funny thing, and the writer, this guy Derek Conley, you know, and our director Colin Trevorrow both really laughed and thought that was funny, and they said, what if we created a fictional movie based off the writer of that classified ad? And so I play a journalist up in Seattle, and my character gets assigned this story to kind of do like a tongue-in-cheek thing on who this guy is.
That happened in real life too, right?
Yeah, they did stories on
they send out a reporter.
They send it out. They figured out who this guy was. And Aubrey Plaza plays my intern who comes with me to kind of, you know, do the story on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back, and then the whole question becomes, is it real? Is it not? Can he time travel? And Mark Duplass from The League plays the guy. And it's a lot of fun.
What did you love about it so much, Ralph?
It's one of those films that is so unusual because it really concentrates and focuses on the characters. And there are quirky moments in it that play like real life as opposed to quirky moments in film. Sometimes when people put stuff in there just to make it seem like it's an indie sort of hipster of film. It's about real people and real relationships. And your character, Jeff, spends a lot of time in the film trying to recapture a moment in his life to go back to when he was a young kid and reestablish a relationship with this girl he knew back then. And I related it because so many of my friends we've all had those moments. There's that one girl in your past that sort of looms large and becomes this mythical character. And if you could hunt her down, and some people do, the results have varying degrees of success.
Yeah,
and
uneven.
It was great exploring that, I think, for guys of a certain age to think back. And then also you've got Arno, your intern there, who you sort of become his mentor and try to teach him at 21 what he should be doing and what he will be missing.
It's
a lot more than just about this guy and this quirky guy who wants to time travel. That's a big part of it. But there's a lot of great all the characters got well served, I think, in this film.
Yeah, and to credit to the writing on that, they tried to tell two different stories at the same time, and they tried to give every character their whole arc. Which doesn't happen a lot. Mostly you'll have the story and everyone's serving that.
Right.
My character is doing his, emotional time travel because, he had his first sexual experience with this woman in this small town who lives near the guy who wrote The Classified. And Jeff, who's somewhat of a D-bag, is still chasing down that feeling because it just hasn't worked out. And so she's kind of his Winnie Cooper.
Yeah, there you go.
And everything is her until he sees her. And guess what? 20 years is a long time. It does wonders on a body.
He says, the years have not been kind to her. In fact, they kind of took an S all over her face.
Now, here's the hardest part about
that. My favorite lines from that movie.
Here is the hardest part about that, and this is just me being totally honest. The script, my character was supposed to be very overweight, very unattractive. My character sees her in a salon, and he's like, oh, give me a prank. So I was expecting a very unattractive, woman to play the part.
Right.
The woman, Janae, the actress,
beautiful.
Pretty cute. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with her at all.
No, she's an attractive lady.
Absolutely.
So what was funny is we shot her stuff before she shot, all that stuff, took an S on her face. you know, me saying things sincerely like, they're like, how was your date? And I go, she's not that fat.
Yeah, right.
And then I had to work with this woman who is attractive.
Yeah.
And then at the screening, we were at Sundance. She's right behind me. I had never felt like a bigger troll.
No.
I was like, it had to be like, thumbs up, great work.
But it does make Jeff seem like even more of a D-bag because he is comparing her to the 18-year-old version of
Absolutely.
Her, which was this stunning little blonde girl,
Yes,
so
no one could live up to that. I had to defend your character watching this film with my wife, by the way, because she's like, why is he saying that? I'm like, look, it's not his fault. It's just he remembers her as 18, and no matter how attractive she is, she's not 18. What do you mean by that?
Nothing. No man is like Jeff. It's just him. I would not say
it's a movie. Science fiction, honey.
Tell me if this is fair, you guys. I honestly, this had a garden scene. State vibe to me, this film. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, there's some of that in there. There's some Little Miss Sunshine road trip kind of quality to it. There's a lot of quirky independent films who share, a lineage with this film. But this thing stands alone, I think, because it's so out there. I mean, time travel as a reality is a pretty wacky concept to tackle.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, Bean. You believe.
I believe.
Yeah, you're probably the guy who wrote the actual ad.
let me play a clip. Let me play a clip from the movie. Our guest is Jake Johnson here again.
No!
Well, let me play. I got time to play a clip.
Come on.
All right, play a clip.
Safety Not Guaranteed is the name of the movie, and you mentioned you're writing a story for Seattle Magazine, and you have taken this road trip with two of your interns, and here you are in the hotel discussing this guy who placed the ad.
So anyway, can we please just focus on the article and figure out what's wrong with this guy, like low IQ or emotional disorder or whatever?
What makes you think there's something wrong with him?
Because he thinks he can go back in time.
Was there something wrong with Einstein or David Bowie?
Not the same.
Just because the guy is trying to do something new doesn't mean he's a freak show.
So you think this is normal?
I don't know. Is it normal that your interns do all your work for you? Is that normal?
Oh,
is
right.
that how all your articles get written?
I love that Aubrey Plaza so much.
So fire her skinny little ass. Guess what? You're abandoned now in Ocean View. Congratulations.
Now we take a break. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean. Jake Johnson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from New Girl on Fox and Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a new film that opens up in a couple of theaters tomorrow. And then if you go see it, hopefully it'll open in a couple more after that.
What are the theaters that it opens in specifically?
Luckily, it's Century City and Burbank AMCs, I think.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah. That is correct.
I'm so glad you guys didn't. There was a moment there I thought I was about to fail the test.
No.
You
go, where are they?
I wasn't asking you. I noticed that.
Jake's doing screening in his garage as well. You can stop by his house. And
just roll by my pad. I got a 6-year-old throw loop. It out.
We know pampered Hollywood types never have any of the actual information, so we bring it upon ourselves to have it.
I've been too busy in a hot tub all morning getting a back massage.
Let's talk about the guy who places the ad that is the premise of this film, The Safety Not Guaranteed, based on a real ad that was placed from somebody who was looking for people to go back through time with him. That must have been a fine line to walk in writing and the way this movie is played, because you kind of want to root for this guy, yet he's also a little bit crazy. Your guy plays it so well.
Yeah, I think Colin met the actual guy.
Oh, did
really?
He?
Yeah.
Oh, what was his story then? I don't know much about the actual guy.
I don't know very much, and if the guy hears this and he's mad at me, I apologize. But from what I know, Colin said, you know, he is somewhat like this guy. He's kind of what you would want him to be.
Really?
He lives in a very remote area. He brought a gun to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Are there people following him?
He's very, is he paranoid or is he right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who's to say?
Who's to say if someone's following somebody if you can't see every corner? And Colin just said they sat in this diner and had a talk, and Colin said it was everything he wanted it to be.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. And then, he bought the rights from him right there. I think Colin, wrote him a personal check.
Did he believe he could time travel?
I think the guy has a sense of humor about it, and he gets what's funny. But I also think deep down he thinks he can.
Really?
From what I understand.
So he must be relatively smart.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah.
And he's right.
And crazy and genius go hand in hand.
Yes.
Often.
So yes. I think he's actually in the movie. There's a scene at the post office early on when Arnaud and Darius are looking at the post office trying to find the guy.
They're staking it out looking for the guy.
The first older guy.
The guy with the beard?
That's actually him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we gave him a cameo, and he was on set, and he had a really fun attitude, and he's really into the movie.
And they say in the film, that's got to be him. Look, white whiskers and everything. That's a time travel type right there.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that was his
that's
shout
funny.
Out.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Did the guy who placed the ad in real life, did he actually build something in his garage that he thought was going to work?
I mean, I don't know, and two, I'm sure if he did, he would have never told any of us.
Right.
I'm sure he's got secret areas.
This is so Bean, living on a remote island, building time travel devices. That's so Bean.
He's asking me about him to see how much I know about him.
Yes, that's correct.
And do you guys know for sure he's in Seattle? I'm like, dude, I know it's you.
I want to make sure my cover is holding up. That's
this
all.
Is a radio intervention.
Jeff's character, Jeff and Nick both, as I was watching the film this week, I said, you are starting to corner the market on sort of damaged romantics, because there is sort of a commonality between those two characters. Guys who on the outside are sort of drinking and bluffing their way through this false bravado, but deep down inside they're desperately romantic and desperately want to connect up. And I found Jeff in this movie is just, he seems like a cool guy, the kind of guy you want to hang out with, because he's a cool reporter at a cool magazine, and he's got sort of this very laissez-faire attitude about life. But when you get down to it, he is desperate for some sort of real connection to really meet up with someone.
I 100% agree with that. It's what I really liked about Jeff and why I really wanted to play the character, because he's two different things. He's driving an Escalade, and he's cool, and he's not afraid to hit on girls, and then you really get to break this guy down. And one of the other fun things about Jeff, for me, is that I feel like in movies a lot of times people really grow and they really mature. And you really see what a piece of S. And then you're like, in the end, you're like, he really grew. There's something nice about Jeff. He's not going to grow.
No. He sticks his head up for a minute and then reverts right back down.
It's like he's the mole. He pops his head on the ground. Something hits him in the head and he goes, it's just better underground.
Yeah, safer down here.
It's nice down here with the dirt and the worms. And I really like that about him. I love those friends I grew up with who, you know, you see on Facebook people change and you're like, good for you. You're like, you used to party so hard at 14. And now look at you with two kids.
Right.
And every once in a while you'll see one guy where you're like, look at that ponytail. Look at you.
you getting heavy in Chicago. Look at you loving partying.
Good for
you. Look at you all red-faced. Yes, OB, I love you. And those kind of guys, I'm like, just good. Keep it going. The Olympic torch is going, and you're the guy holding
people
it.
People who know themselves well enough to continue to be that.
Yeah, and just those are my favorite parts. So I wanted Jeff to have a little bit of... You know, just keep going, man.
Yeah. Well, as he was swilling Jack from the bottle driving a go-kart, I said, this is my guy.
Smoking, drinking.
This is the guy I want to be hanging out
Colin,
with.
Colin, our director, in that sequence, he goes, on that whole sequence was an eighth of a page. And on the schedule, you know, you have, like, everything's written out. The beginning of the morning would be, like, you know, Aubrey and Duplass doing this. And the second half is, he goes, it just wrote, Jake Johnson getting effing weird.
That's all he wrote.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we went there. There was a whole go-kart, and he goes, so here's what we've got. We've got this stuff over here, the rides. And there was a go-kart that was rigged with a camera. And he goes, just do whatever you want, man. And I was like, I will never have this great of a director
This
great of it. So I just drove around. The whole crew went inside. We're doing something else. I just left
your one-man film crew.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was one of those great life moments where I'm on a go-kart, smoking, drinking, being like, and every time I'd go around, you know, a PA would pop his head out, and I'd just do, like, one more. This is my moment, Jack. Back off.
Well, the movie is so, so fun. And we had a K-Rock screening last week. Ralph gave away a bunch of tickets to our listeners who got to go see it. But it is opening up tomorrow, and you can see it at the AMC Century City and the AMC Burbank 16. Again, the film is called Safety Not Guaranteed. And we couldn't recommend this thing more. We're so happy for you, man, because it really came out great. So congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
And continued success with New Girl, too. You know what big fans of that we are. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean because the boys are off on a not well-earned vacation. They get more vacation time than anybody.
Yes, they do.
I always think of Kevin when I hear that song because, you know, that was his wedding song.
It's unbelievable.
He and his wife danced to Creep by Radiohead as their first song at their wedding.
Yes, is there more a romantic song? I don't think so.
Nope.
Creep. I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the floor for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Ryder.
All right, let's get on with the showbiz beat. As I mentioned, the boys are on vacation. However, I am here
to be your radio guide and hold your hand as we walk through this forest together. It is the showbiz beat and sad news this morning. We've been talking about it all morning. Andy Griffith, television legend, has passed away at the age of 86. He died in his home state of North Carolina. Apparently, no word yet on what he passed from, but he was rushed to the hospital and then did not make it. He is best known, of course, as Andy Taylor, the sheriff from The Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry. The show was on from 1960 to 1968, but he's done a bunch of other stuff, including some great film work. And Matlock, of course, very popular series as well. He was a big-time TV star, one of the biggest, and he will be missed at 86 years old. Sad news. Also some sad news, Pennywise singer Zolly Teglis. He had emergency surgery last week. Apparently they were performing in Germany, and he experienced some severe back pain, bad enough that brought him to his knees several times during the show. He almost passed out from the pain. He was rushed to the hospital, and they said he needed an immediate operation because he had a serious herniated disc in his lower back. They said if they didn't operate, he could chance paralysis. So they had to do it right away. The surgery went as well as it could be expected, according to a spokesperson for Pennywise. And he is already up and moving around slowly. He is expected to recover fully. However, because of the recovery time, it's the last leg of the tour is going to be canceled for Pennywise. So not great news if you're looking forward to seeing them. However, great news that looks like Zolly's going to be fine. So that's good news. Bad news is the fact that Wendy Williams and Star Jones are teaming up.
Whoa!
Yeah, Wendy Williams is going to start producing movies and television shows under a new production banner called Wendy Williams Presents.
Oh.
Apparently her daytime talk show is so successful that they're giving her own production company. Have you ever seen her daytime talk show?
I tried to watch it once, and it was unbelievably terrible.
It'll make your eyes bleed.
Yeah.
She's horrible on every level.
Can't interview. She's not likable. And she looks like a dude.
So she is going into production business, and she is producing a
TV movie based on a book by Star Jones that is a thinly veiled attack on the girls of The View, of the show she used to be in, called Satan's Sisters. So that will be on television sometime near you.
That's just not good.
Yeah, bad people. Bad people do well in entertainment. I don't know why. Like Willow Smith, for example.
Yeah,
probably not a bad person. She's only 11, but she keeps releasing music. People keep inflicting her upon us as if she's actually some sort of artist.
And has any talent.
And at 11, it was bad enough she was whipping her hair back and forth, which was sort of an innocuous, don't get me wrong, stupid song, but it was sort of like a party song.
Right.
Now the 11-year-old is getting all introspective and telling us about her search for her true identity and to find her place in the world at 11. Here's a little taste of her brand new single, I Am Me.
I am me, I am me, I am me. I am free, I am free, I am free. I am me, I am me, I am me. I am free, I am free. I am me, I am me, I am me.
No!
I am free, I am free, I am free.
The new single, I Am Me. I don't know where the title comes from. Oh, wait a minute. It's the fact that she repeats that phrase over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Let me read you some more of the lyrics. Days pass. I'm trying to find out who I really am. I've been looking. People don't like the way I dress or where I'm at. I'm me. That's all I can be. Here's my vulnerability. I'm free and you can't stop me. I'm me and that's all I can be. You're 11. Stop it.
I am me, I am me, I am me.
Only an 11-year-old thinks hitting three chords over and over again and singing I Am Me is a song.
I am me, I am me, I am me.
You think Will Smith would hear that and say, you know what,
they
let's
don't.
Go back into the
no,
studio.
No, everything, when she poops, they have it framed. I'm sure. They dip it in bronze and they put it up on the mantle with all the other poops she's had.
I have a feeling that it's more Jada. Kind of like, you know, letting
you... You know, Jada can't sing either. She's got a band.
yeah,
it runs in the family.
That is true.
And the other one, he can't act, and they're putting him in movies. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Kim Kardashian, while we're talking about people without talent, she was at the BET Awards with her her loving, loving boyfriend, Kanye West. Did you see the public display of affection between the two of them when he won that award?
I did.
They almost looked at each other. That's how in love they are. They practically gave each other a sideways glance before he went up on stage to accept his award.
Yeah.
While she was in the crowd watching her man get his award, she apparently was tweeting because at the exact same time she was at the award ceremony, people received a tweet reminding them to tune in for the latest episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Never missing an opportunity to self-promote.
Yep.
God bless Kim. She does not disappoint. Two of them were in matching outfits, too, by the way. I don't know if you saw that or not on Sunday night. But they
all
were
in white.
Yeah, and they were wearing Air Jeezys.
Were they both wearing
Air? Yeah, he was wearing Air Jeezys.
Yeah.
I don't think she was. She was probably wearing Air Porn Stars, her line of sneaker.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays as we prepare to leave and celebrate the 4th of July. Just think about right now, July 3rd, back in 1776, what our founding fathers were doing. I think they were smoking out.
Do you think they were getting high? They were just getting stoned?
They were big hemp fans, you know, the founding fathers. I think they were just getting baked. Saying, tomorrow's a big day. What are we going to do? I don't know. I'm a little nervous. Hey, George, why don't you light up that bowl?
Sweet.
Can we carve out your teeth and use them as a bong? That's what they were doing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Montel Williams is 56 years old today. Actor Tom Cruise celebrates his 50th birthday. Thomas Gibson, star of Criminal Minds. And back in the day, he was Greg of Dharma and Greg. He is 50 years old. Connie Nielsen, who's in Gladiator and a bunch of other films, 48 years old. Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons turns 48 years old. Shawnee Smith from Saw and Becker, 43. And actress Olivia Munn, 32 years old today. She can be seen now in The Newsroom, one of my new favorite shows over there on HBO. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. Stay safe. Party your asses off. And I'll be back here on Thursday with more showbiz news. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K.